many times has a spouse said that, a wife said that to her husband, or husband to their wife? Kim says that to me many times. She says, you're not listening to me. And she might tell me where to get something, and I come back and she said, you didn't listen. But if she's talking to me, especially when football is on, see, she doesn't even do it anymore. She knows, because she says, you're not listening to me. Or how many times, Garrett or Faith, has your mother said to me, to you, are you listening to me? I'm talking to you and you don't seem to be listening to me. Did she ever tell you that? Uh-huh. Sometimes God says to us, are you listening to me? Faith, as we learned last week, works and works within our heart. And last week we began a series entitled, and this is what, are you listening to me? And that maybe you think of this guy in this picture. You can tell usually when someone's talking to you if they're listening to you, can't you? Usually by if their eyes are moving, or if you can tell if their mind's dreaming away. And this guy has that same thought. Are you listening to me? But last week we began a series called Faith Works. And we're looking at the book of James and its practicality of how faith within us is meant to work and produce within us a changed life. The book of James is very, very practical for our teaching and for our living. And we saw that faith works and that it makes a difference in us. But faith works as well because it produces within us certain changes in our behavior, certain things that should be generalized within our life. And we learned last week as we began that faith is active, not passive. Faith is something that is busy and is working within us and working through us. And it's not just something we passively sit by, that James is going to tell us. If we say we have faith and we sit on the sidelines and our faith is not busy out on the field playing in the game, then he would say that we really don't have faith. Because faith gets in the game. Faith is at work. Faith is producing within us. It's not a passive thing. We also learned last week that faith makes a difference in our life. And I'm reviewing this for some of you that weren't here last week. We learned it makes a difference in our relationships. And we'll see that as we go through the book of James. Particularly today as we talk and focus on one particular verse. We'll see where that makes a difference in our relationships. But it makes also a difference in our church as we live out our faith and exercise it and use it. And it makes a difference in our world. But last week we learned that faith and its working in us perseveres. And we heard again in the sharing time this morning again of heartache and of many tragedies and the hardships we went through. And James began this book by saying, consider it joy and learn to rejoice when we go through times of trials, when we go through times of hardship, when we go through times of adversity, because faith working in us makes us, enabled us to persevere, to endure. And last week, just in review, we learned that we need to rejoice because trials are a test from the hand of God. That when those trials come, those times of adversity, we can rejoice in them because God is using them to test us, to prove the reality of our faith, as we learned last week, and to show what we're really made of. And show that when those hard times come, that our faith is real. And we also learned last week to remember that temptations are a trap from the heart of man. Trials come from God to test us, but temptations come from within. And to trap us and to cause us to fall away. And we learned that in all of us, all of it, we need to relax because goodness is a treat from the grace of God. So those three principles we learned last week help us to continue to persevere in our faith. Now today we learn that faith listens. That faith listens to the voice of God, to His Word particularly, and even to those around us. Because God speaks in many different ways. God speaks through His Word, but God also speaks through one another. Do you believe that? And he can give a guidance to a brother or sister in Christ who can give us direction. So listening to what God has to say through other people as well is important. And one of the biggest things us men can learn is to listen to our wives. And this week at the Pastoral Assessment Center, that came out to a lot of the pastors that they were reminded that they need to learn to listen to their wives, because their wives have good things to say. And Gary said, and the other way around. Okay, it works both ways. Yeah, it does work both ways. We learn to listen to each other because we can learn from each other. But faith listens. So James tells us, as we seek to learn from how to listen to him, to the word, what several principles and how that faith works out. But if you ever seen the movie Willy Wonka, he was kind of a strange guy, and he was putting the kids through a test at the end of it to see who would actually receive the chocolate plant that he was going to go over. But he was kind of a strange guy, and sometimes we feel like this. Can you tell I'm not listening? And God says to us, faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes from the word of God. So the question today we want to focus in is, are you listening to God? Because faith listens, and what does it really mean to listen to God and his word? Listening is more than just, as we're going to see, hearing and coming and hearing the sermon as I give the sermon, and hopefully you're listening, you're not falling asleep, your mind's not drifting, hopefully you're here. But listening is more than just that, or listening is more than just opening the Bible and reading. We're going to see that faith listening means far more. And to listen to God means, first, that we take God's word to heart. That's the first part of listening, is by taking what God has to say in his word and taking it to heart and letting it become a part of us, that we receive it. That so when God speaks to us, even if it's something we don't like to hear, we receive it. Because, you know, we can come to God's word and we can approach it, and we can read the parts of the scripture that say to us, as God's speaking, about not committing murder or homosexuality or immorality or the things that we may not struggle with. And we say, oh, yeah, that's right, God. I agree. I hear what you're saying, and you're right. And I don't do that. And I listen to that. But what about when God says about love those people that are hard to love? What about when God says, tame your tongue and put a bridle on your tongue and watch what you say? What about when God says, get a hold of your anger, which we're going to address here shortly? What about when God says, love those people that are hard to love? What about when God says, get rid of the bitterness in your heart that you have? Get rid of the grudges that you have? What about when God says about the gossip in our own heart? Our gossip that we like to talk to others behind their back? And we get to those part of God's word and say, but God, I'm not listening to that part. I'll listen to this part over here, but I'm not going to listen to that. Or giving or tithing. And sometimes like that, and we say, but. And sometimes we're like this. And we put our hands over ears and say, I'm not listening, God. I'm not listening to that part of it. Sure, I'll listen to this part of your word, but I'm not listening to when you tell me that I need to forgive that person who has said those things against me. No way am I listening to that. Faith listens in that it takes God's word to heart, takes seriously all of it. We can't pick and choose what part of God's word we can receive, can we? When he speaks to us, he's speaking to your heart and mind personally and individually. And faith listens by hearing and taking his word to heart and receiving it. That means to be silent and let God do the talking. You say, where do I get that from? Well, listen to what he says here. James says in verse 19, my dear brothers, take note of this. And I like by him saying, take note of this, meaning write this down. Mark this. This is important. What I'm telling you is very important here. Take note of it. Otherwise, don't miss it. Or he's like God getting in our face. And you ever have it whenever someone's not listening to you and your child's not listening to you and you put your hand in front of them and you're like, look at my face. Look in my eyes. Look at me. I'm trying to talk to you. And that's like God saying, look at me right here. I'm trying to talk to you. Pay attention to what I'm saying. Be quick. Take note of this. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Often, we are very quick to speak, aren't we? And someone, not only to God, but when someone's talking to us, and I can be guilty of this, then when someone's talking to me, I can right away come back and I want to say something and I don't take time to just stop and listen. But he says, be silent. Let God do the talking. And sometimes when we come to God's word and we start to read it and God says something to us, we say, but God! And we start to say, but God, I can't. God says, no, just be still. Be quick to listen to me. Don't try to rush and speak too soon. Be silent before him. Let God do the talking in our heart. To be still, be quick to listen, and slow to speak. Not only does this apply as we open God's word, but it also applies in our relationships to each other, doesn't it? And wouldn't our relationships with each other improve if we learn that principle of being quick to listen to the other person and slow to speak before we come back with a rebuttal or an answer? To be slow to think it through and slow to become angry. Let God do the talking and be still and let God do the changing. Because as we open up God's word and he speaks to us and we're silent before him, as it says, be still and know that I am God. And we're silent before him and he puts it finger on our heart through his spirit of an area in our life we need to change. We can have two responses. One can be anger, and it can burn up within us, and we resist. And we can fight it, and we can fight what God says and say, but God, I'm not doing that. I that's too hard. I'm not going to forgive that person. I'm going to hold on to this. I'm going to nurture it. We can get angry, or we can let God change us. But he says, anger, be slow to anger, because anger does not bring about the change that God desires. And when people sometimes try to change somebody else, and spouses sometimes try to change people, when they get married, they think everything... They're wonderful when they get married, they find out things aren't the way they thought they would be. And some couples spouses try to change the other person. And we can't bring about change. And whenever that change doesn't happen, the person gets angry. And it leads to anger. But he says, no, let God do the changing. Because it says, man's anger, our anger does not bring about the change that God desires. The only one that can bring about that change within our life personally or someone else is God. And so don't get angry about it. But leave it in the hands of God. Be still and let God do the changing. So take his word to heart. Make it part of our life. And let him work within us. It's the first way that faith listens. Hearing God speak, receive it gladly, summed up in this, in others and in me, but it's summed up in this, with that attitude, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Classic illustration from the scripture from Samuel was when Samuel was a young boy living in the temple when he was dedicated to God. And he was living there in the tabernacle. And he heard this voice getting him up in the middle of the night. He thought it was Eli, the priest, calling him. And he ran over to Eli and said, "You called me." And he said, "No, I didn't call you. Go back to sleep." And three times this happened. He heard this voice calling his name, Samuel. And Eli kept saying, "I didn't call you. Go back." Then finally, the third time, he said, "It must be God speaking to you." So the next time you hear the voice, say, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." So the third time Samuel went back to sleep, and he heard this voice, Samuel, calling his name. And he said, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." And he gave Samuel a special message. The message he gave to Samuel was, "Go tell Eli the prophet that I am going to bring discipline on his children because he is refusing to correct them. And he was refusing to take action. And his children were disobedient from the Lord. They were not living as they should be. Eli refused to deal with it." So Samuel gave the message to Eli. And you know what Eli's response was? He didn't do anything about it. He heard the word of God. He heard the message. But he didn't take it to heart. He didn't take the change of action that God required of him. And he just let it go. And he didn't respond. Which brings us to the next point. That faith listening is not only hearing God speak, taking it to heart. But this is the important part. It's living God's word daily. Because to hear his word, we haven't listened until, James tells us, until we do what God asks of us. Hearing what he says, understanding it, is one thing. But until we actually do it and live it out, we haven't listened. How do you know your children or grandchildren have listened to you when you've asked them to do something? It's because you know they listened whenever they took out and followed the command, right? If you ask them to clean up their bed, to make their bed, and they say, "Yeah, I'll do it. I hear you," but they don't make their bed, did they really listen to you? No, and it's the same with us with God. Same with us in his word. To hear what he has to say, and if we don't do it, we haven't listened. So faith listening means that we live God's word daily. We do that through soaking it in, through letting it come a part of us, understanding it. He says in verses 23 through 25, "Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does." That soaking it in means to dig deep. To dig deep into his word. He says to look intently into it. The word there, look intently, carries the idea of, say, you're walking along the road in a sidewalk somewhere, or going to the parking lot, the grocery store, your Weis Market or Giant, and you're getting out of your car at Weis Market or Giant, and you happen to notice something down on the parking lot. And you see something down there, something shiny, you're not quite sure what it is, and so you bend over and look down and pick it up to find out real intently what it is, and you find out it's a coin. But you can walk over, you can look and glance and walk over it, but that word look intently means you stoop down and pick it up and you look and stare real intently. It's stopping and pausing and taking a deeper look. That's what it means. We can casually read the word of God, and we can just read it real quickly, or we're intentionally stopping and intently focusing and pausing on the word of God and let him speak to us. Digging deeper, taking that time to notice what he's saying, to listen for his voice, to be still before him and let God speak. That's what the digging deeper means. But also means don't forget. Because he said when he does speak, we can't forget what he tells us. Then James uses the illustration that we all are familiar with. We can understand this every morning. He said it's like You get up in the morning and you look at yourself in the mirror first thing, and isn't that a wonderful view? First thing you see yourself in the mirror, and you look at yourself and and you see yourself, and he says, if you look at yourself in the mirror is to show a reflection. The mirror shows a reflection of our true self, of our true condition. And he said it would be foolish of us, and none of us would think of getting up in the morning, seeing ourselves the way we look in the morning, and going out and not doing anything about it and facing people. He said, that's foolish. And none of us would even think of doing that, would we? We see the mirror and we see what we really look like, and we take corrective action to fix it, to make sure that we look fine, that we are presenting ourselves well before people. And that's right, and that's proper. And James says it's the same with the Word of God. He said it's foolish that if we come and God speaks to us and shows us our true spiritual condition, because the Bible is a mirror. It's like in the Bible, God is showing us our true spiritual self, what we look like before Him. And he said it's foolish that if we see God revealing something in us that we still need to work on and correct and deal with, and we don't take the action and we forget about it and we go away and don't take the action, he said it's like looking at our mirror in the mirror and not doing anything about it. And that's foolish. So he says, don't forget. Listening means don't forget when God shows you something in your life that you need to take to change. Take that action. Take the corrective action he's pointing out in your life and follow through. That's what it means to listen. To soak it in, that's part of it. And we can understand that aspect of listening. But as we live out his word each day, it involves more than just soaking it in. Because you've probably heard this question, you've probably heard the same statement before, but what makes the Dead Sea dead? What makes the Dead Sea dead in Israel? Well, I heard someone say it over here. No outlet. It drinks in. It takes everything in, the life-giving water coming from the Sea of Galilee in the north, and then the Jordan River flowing into it, and has great intake, and it's taking everything in. And yes, we're to soak in the Word of God, and we come Sunday morning, and we get taught and instructed in the Word. We have our daily time with the Lord. We come to Sunday school or small group or whatever. We're soaking in the Word of God, God showing himself to us. That's part of it. But if we soak everything in, what happens? It's just like the Dead Sea. Not only do we have to soak it in, but we've got to squeeze it out. Because God's purpose in speaking to us, his purpose in showing us ourselves and giving his word, is so that we can squeeze it out and make a difference in the world. So that we can live it out in our daily relationships, in our marriage, or in our home, or in our family, in our place of employment, or the people we come in contact with every week. That his word is lived out in us, that our faith is working through what we do, through how we live our life. So the reason why God speaks to you is so that we can squeeze it out and live it out in our life every day. James gives us three practical ways of how that faith is to be lived out. How, when we hear God speak to us, it's to make a difference. And this is how he says one way we can tell whether faith is working in you and me or not. Whether faith is producing within us what God intends. Whether faith is working or whether it's sitting on the sideline. Because it's squeezed out. It makes a difference. And he said, we hear it and do it and putting into practice through first holding your tongue. Because notice what he says. Religion that our God, if anyone considers himself religious, and I don't like that word religious because it can give the wrong context, but here it's used in this context, religious or godly in this case. But if anyone considers himself godly or Christ-like, or a believer, or has faith, and you consider yourself, remember, part of what James is about is to show us how faith works. The testing shows whether faith is really legitimate or not. And we learned last week that when a true believer, when hardship comes, will endure it. But here's another way he's showing us. True faith, those that really know Christ. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, what's it say? He deceives himself, and his religion or his faith is worthless. He's going to come back to this idea later. But one of the ways we live out our faith that makes a difference is by holding our tongue. And boy, that is tough, isn't it? But again, to hear the word and not put it into practice in our life, we haven't listened. And learning how to tame our tongue is so important that James is going to come back to this. And we get to chapter 3. He's going to devote some more time to this whole particular issue, to keeping that tight rein on our tongue, but learning how to before we speak, say, Lord, help me be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to be angry. It also makes a difference. And we squeeze it out not only in what we say, but we squeeze it out, and he said, in our care for others, in caring for the needy. Because he says, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after widows and orphans that are distressed. And why did James particularly pick out those two groups, widows and orphans? Well, in that time, in the time in which James was writing in the first century AD, those were the most vulnerable people. When widows and orphans, children were considered as property, pretty much, and so were women in those days. And if a husband died and a woman didn't have anyone to care for her, the property rights went through the men. Women didn't have anyone to care for them. They would often be really in destitute situation. And children as well that didn't have any parents to care for them, they were the most needy, the most vulnerable. But today we translate that over to today, and it's anyone who has need around us, anyone who God has called us to help them. And we have the means to help. Our faith in action, our faith, if it's real, demonstrated that when a need comes by and God makes it known to us, true faith would respond by meeting and caring for that need, right? And that's what he's telling us. It's putting our faith in practice. Today, unfortunately, in James' day, a lot of the care for people was helped by the churches, and a lot of the churches did that. But today it seems like we as a church have neglected that more and let that over to the government to care for others. It's not the government's role, it's ours to care for those around us that God may bring into their life, to help them. And we show our true faith by caring for those who have needs, whatever they may be. And also by conforming to Christ, where he says true religion that God our Father accepts is this: to care for those in need, look after the orphans and what is their distress, but also to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. That means to become more like Jesus. And notice what James says and what James doesn't say. And as I was reading this week and preparing this message, this struck me too. He says, true religion means keeping yourself from being polluted by the world. Notice James does not say true religion means keeping yourself from the world. You know, we're not being called to be not to be out in the world. We as believers who know Christ need to be out amongst people who are lost and unsaved so that they can see Jesus in us. How would people who are lost know Christ if we don't make a relationship with them, right? So he's not saying don't be out in the world, and as Christians, just come together and isolate behind the little fortress and be safe with each other here, and don't be out in the world out there. In fact, in the last prayer, Jesus said, I'm not asking you to take them out of the world. It's not that we are not to be out in the world. We are, so that we can be a representative of Christ, an ambassador there. But he's saying keeping ourselves from being polluted from the world or by the world. That means not adapting the world's value system as our own. It means not living according to the standards of the world. not letting the world force us into its, conformed into its standards, but instead being conformed to Jesus. It's going against the flow. It's living against, going against the grain, and not living by king, by worldly principles, but by kingdom principles. And that's what he's telling us here. Yes, we need to be in the world. We need to be out there amongst those who are lost so that they can see Jesus in us and we can make a difference. But that doesn't mean we live like them. We live with them so that they can see Jesus within us. And that's our faith being carried out and applied in the world and in our life. So faith listens, taking God's word to heart, listening to what he has to say, not being quick to speak, not being quick to say, but God, but listening, I'm listening to you, letting him speak deep into our heart, and then taking the action he requires, not looking at ourselves in the mirror and forgetting and walking away, but living by it each day. So in closing, the question is this. Are you listening? Faith listens. Are you listening to God? Not just hear what he has to say, but doing it and living it out in our life as well. As we close today, we're going to close a little bit differently. And I'm going to ask everyone to bow your head where you are. And we're just going to give a moment of silence and to be still before the Lord. Because in the silence, God speaks. And he says, be still and know that I am God. And in a moment of silence, we're going to take, I'm going to ask just, but just bow in a moment of silence. I'm going to tell you what we're going to do. As you're in a moment of silence, you're going to ask you, Lord, just say this. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. I'm going to be still before you. What is it that you are saying to me right now? Now, whatever he has heard, whatever you have heard him say to you in the stillness of his small voice, listen to his voice. You have heard him speak. Faith listening means whatever he has told you, do what he has just now said to you. So whatever he's spoken to you, whatever action he said you need to do, do it and put it into practice and live it out. Then you've listened to his voice. Father, we thank you for the stillness of your voice, that you speak to each to us personally in our point of need through your word, through your spirit. And as we sit in silence before you, in the quiet, Lord, we hear you speak still and softly through your spirit, showing us, Lord, whether we need to forgive someone, whether we need to change our attitude, whatever it is. We've heard you speak. But that's the first part of our listening. We haven't listened until we do what it is you've told us to do. So Lord, help us to put your faith to be working within us, to enable us and cause us to listen fully, not only with our ears, but with our heart, with our actions, with our life, with our feet, with our entire being. And live out as you speak to us through your word and through your spirit. So this week, this day, help us to do what you have just called us and spoke to us to do. That as we live with you and walk with you this week, putting your faith and our faith to work in our life and letting your faith work within us to make us into who you want us to be. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. As we close this morning, and we're just going to sing, in the interest of time, number 321, and we're going to sing just the first and the fifth verse of Trust and Obey. But there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to hear what he said, to trust his word, and then obey it, live it out, put it into practice. 321, verse 1 and 5.